Yesterday's incident with the Key Bridge in Baltimore, Maryland, has reinvigorated the conversation regarding the state and safety of our local bridges. The Point Ellis Bridge, which connects Vic West to Victoria proper along Bay Street, has its own horrific past as far as the incidents are concerned. That bridge has since been replaced decades ago and is going strong ever since. The Johnson Street Bridge, on the other hand, is approaching its sixth anniversary in operation on March the 31st. Matter of fact, CFAX 1070 was on scene for the opening day festivities all that 6 years ago. And I do recall an issue arising then with respect to the fendering for the new bridge. You know, that's the component that serves to cushion the impact received when struck by a ship or barge. Somehow, these protective elements were not included in the scope of the project then, and extra funds would be needed if they were to be installed. Given the cost overruns for the project, an alternate plan was devised utilizing the pre-existing concrete piers from the previous bridge for this effect. For more on this, I wanted to bring in a local freelance journalist who chronicled the replacement project of the Johnson Street Bridge in Focus magazine, Ross Crockford, who joins us now on the CFAX Afternoon Show. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
You're very welcome.
So you had reported in early days of this project, 08, 09, something like that, that there had been some sort of issue with the bridge and the fact that the new bridge would not be quite as robust as the old bridge, so it might need a little bit more fendering, and that would require some extra cash, which somehow wasn't included in the scope of the project.
Yeah, well, the mechanism of the new bridge is much lower and closer to the water, and it's on the east side. It's in the sort of concrete house that's down at the water's edge that, you know, when people are walking across it, they can sort of look down into where the mechanism is, and so that's fairly close to the water level, and there's sort of minimal protection around that box from anything hitting it or a vessel hitting it that's going out of the inner harbor.
Now, from what I understand, Mr. Huggett was able to speak with the Victoria Times columnist in an article that was published today, and he oversaw the replacement project of that bridge, and he says that the concrete piers from the old bridge were used to build fenders on the south side, and on the north side, they put in some pilings to support a small pontoon fendering system, but I guess in the grand scope of things, we're not talking about these 100,000-ton ships that we're seeing going out of major ports like Baltimore. These are smaller vessels coming in and out of Victoria's Harbor, but nonetheless, they can pose quite the hazard to bridges and other infrastructure.
Yeah, there was quite a lot of discussion about installing fendering on the north side of the bridge, and in the end, it was abandoned for several reasons. One is that when they were building the new bridge, they had to relocate this duct of telecommunications cables, and they moved it out of the way, but they didn't move it far enough out of the way, and so they would have to move it again to put in the pilings for a robust fendering system on the north side of the bridge, and so that was going to contribute to a massive cost. It was up to at some points talking about $10 million to put in some fendering on the north side of the bridge, and then on the south side, it's sort of the opposite problem. They had the old piers, and it was recommended when they did this study about the fendering in 2016 that actually some of those old piers be removed to make it easier for people to pilot into and under the bridge if they were coming from the inner harbor, you know, the larger inner harbor. And we've got sort of this situation now where we're kind of relying on the skill and ability of the pilots, and every vessel that's going in and out now has to have like two tugs with it, and as mentioned in the Times columnist, there are no tugs on these vessels in Baltimore, and that's part of the problem why there was this accident.
No, frankly, from what I understand, there had been tugs in the initial go, but by the time it was kind of getting underway to go out to sea is when the problems arose, and they were suddenly recalled to get the tugs back out to the ship, but they didn't make it in time, and the disaster that we saw as an aftermath is what we've been discussing for the last day and a half, frankly.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is things happen, and with our bridge, there are this requirement to have these two tugs, and I assume that's followed very closely. There's also weight limits and wind limits. You know, you're not supposed to take vessels through the channel there under the bridge if there's a big wind problem, in case there's some kind of drift associated with that. So, I guess the calculation was that the amount of money that would be spent on the fendering would not necessarily be worth the relatively small risk. But of course, that doesn't mean that things can't happen. So, we're hoping that the bridge continues to function and remain intact, and that nothing hits it. But we don't know. One morning we may wake up and hear a similar kind of story.
Well, hopefully that's not the story we hear coming out of Victoria's Inner Harbor. I don't want to hear that story coming out of any harbor, but it's something to look out for. I mean, we don't have the... it's not all the way up to where it should be, but it seems to be getting the job done. They've had a couple of strikes since the new bridge has been in operation, and both times they've been relatively minor, and both times the operator has recouped the city for the damages.
Yes, yeah, although there is a, in the insurance policy that the city has, at least the last time that I looked at it, there is a $250,000 deductible, so I don't know if the city is paying that, and then... the insurers are going after the operators for the remainder or what exactly is happening. But the operators are paying certainly something for the repairs to the damage.
Well, Ross Crockford, I do appreciate some of the insight and the background on our current Johnson Street Bridge, the issues that had arisen during its construction. Obviously, we didn't touch on all of them, just the ones relating to the fendering there. But I do appreciate the insight and the background you're able to provide us. And thank you for joining us today on the CFAX Afternoon Show. Best of luck as you go forward.
You're very welcome.